Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Eric Pickle. Every morning, we'll give you the latest from the Washington Redskins as we hit the skins, and that's what we're going to do right now.
All right, boys.
Some positive hail today.
Yeah.
Well, he was upset I played the sax version yesterday.
Well, there was no reason to play a sad version.
The Geis? I don't think we've officially hit the skins since Geis's injury.
We hadn't on Monday, no.
Exactly.
What day is today anyway?
Today's Wednesday.
We're already Wednesday.
Up day.
Big news, though, out of camp yesterday. The Redskins made kind of a surprising move to observers. They cut corner Orlando Scandrick, who they had signed to a two-year deal, who actually got $1 million.
Got a
just
million.
To kind of work out and show up for a few weeks.
It's a nice deal.
I'm sure he's not happy.
That was all guaranteed?
No, his deal was for more than $1 million, but he got $1 million.
He got $1 million, right?
Yeah.
I think he might be fine. They kind of labeled him as a troublemaker, it seemed like.
What I understood is there was some divide. Yeah, some of the coaching staff necessarily felt maybe didn't fit.
I thought he had that reputation, you know, with Dallas.
Yeah. Probably did. You don't really.
I didn't think it was a great fit when they signed him. I didn't really understand it.
They have a lot of young guys. Look, Fabian Moreau, Quentin Dunbar.
Exactly. Danny Johnson's emerged. People have been hyping him up.
Yep.
Stroman looked good in the preseason game.
So, you know, basically they've locked in Dunbar there as their corner opposite Josh Norman. JP mentions Fabian Moreau. Looks like he's going to be the nickelback. They love some of these. They love Adonis Alexander, even though he's been hurt. I think they love what he can potentially bring. Stroman.
That's a supplemental draft guy.
Yep.
They've got their second-year corner, Josh Holsey, who is expected to start the season on the PUP list, but they like him too. So, you know, it's weird. It's a young group. There's no, you know, Bashaud Breeland left in free agency. Kendall Fuller, of course, the trade to the Chiefs that brought Alex Smith here. And it's been a weak spot for them. It'll be
is
interesting
Breeland
to see how it plays
still
out.
Available?
Breeland's still available.
Theoretically,
I think he was visiting
they could bring
a camp.
Him back.
Yeah, but this didn't work. They didn't like. They couldn't wait for him to get out of here. You think Jay didn't like Kirk? Those coaches were not enamored with Bashaud Breeland.
There's some scuttle that they were looking at Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yeah, that name has been thrown out there. But we'll see. I think what they're going to do is see how these young guys hold up.
It should tell you
also physically, too, see if they stay healthy.
It should tell you all you need to know about Breeland since he's not on anybody's team.
Well, the big thing is he had agreed to a deal right away, but then he had that foot injury.
That's true.
So I'm gonna, you know, but I think somebody will sign him if he's healthy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think he's as good as other people think.
He's had moments, but you're right.
I thought last year he had a bad year.
Play the clips of Jay. Jay got to the podium and he talks about the decision to release Orlando Scandrick. Do you have it, Valdez? Come on, work with me, pal. 18.
You know, when we initially signed Orlando, we had just lost Kendall, and it was before the draft. We drafted Stroman, and obviously we got Adonis, and I think the emergence of Danny Johnson, Fabian Moreau at nickel. We wanted to get these guys reps at nickel and Dunbar at corner and move on. So give Orlando ample time to get on another team before the season started.
Yeah, kind of a courtesy move there.
Nothing to do with his play. It was more of the rookie's emergence, really. You know, like I said, we drafted Stroman. We got Adonis in the supplemental, and then nobody could really predict Danny and Tejada the way they played. So, really that. And we want to give Orlando ample time to get on another team.
Jay was also asked and talked about what he's learned from their time in Richmond.
Yeah, we still obviously have a long ways to go, but I'm happy with the progress we've made. Offensively, you know, we've done it a couple different ways. I wish we could get everybody in the lineup at one time. It'd be nice to see. But for the most part, I like the way the guys have progressed from day one till now. And same with defensively. We still, you know, we're communicating, we're working. We had some busts yesterday. We have to get cleaned up. But guys are working hard and playing hard. That's all I can ask for.
He can't get the lineup, though, that he wants healthy together. And you wonder if it's going to happen in week one. I guess they're trying to plan for it to happen come the regular season, that they're withholding guys like Jordan Reed and Trent Williams and Morgan Moses.
And
but man, is it all going to come together?
I don't know. I think it'll take some time.
Like
I think
they're trying to protect
this team, probably
not. In week one, will they have, starting on the field, Jordan Reed at tight end, Josh Doctson at wide receiver, and the offensive line intact?
I'm going to say yes. But it doesn't mean they're going to play
have
great.
I don't know if you'll have all five starting offensive linemen.
So far, I don't think.
I know, there's three games left. I think that they'll have Doctson and Reed.
Yeah.
And they'll
I think
Trent.
The offensive line is more likely to be back intact.
No, I think
they're just.
By all reports, Reed and Doctson look pretty good. They're just. Yeah. I think they're just being very careful.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you never know. I mean, there's three preseason games.
Well, that could happen. But as of right now, if the season started today.
Well, yeah, because Reed and Doctson aren't going to play much either.
If the season started today, I think they would have all those guys. That's what I'm led to believe. But, you know, Jason's right. I mean, injuries could happen in the next three games. But I think that's why they're not playing them that much.
Yeah. They're going to play, from what I read, a series maybe this week. And then maybe a quarter in week three. And week four, they shut them down.
All right. So they obviously have a game on Thursday.
I mean, wouldn't you do that if you were the coach?
Against the Jets.
It's tough. I mean, we grew up in an era where they used to play like a full
First quarter, the first preseason game, second quarter, two quarters in the second preseason game, three quarters in the third, and then maybe not play the fourth.
But they also practice a lot harder too.
Right.
True.
So I don't know what's necessary to find rhythm. I haven't been in practice. I don't know if the team's ready to go. If I feel the team's ready to go, okay, hold the guys back. Play the young guys. Play the guys who are going to be working for UPS soon.
Why do we always say UPS?
I don't know. That's
UPS gets a bad rap.
That's should say
only,
FedEx.
That's the only company we ever
FedEx. Because it just seems like you can be a football player and get that sort of job.
So they play the Jets.
Why do we say, hey,
what do you want me to say? Be an engineer?
Be pack of groceries.
Why couldn't they be
any cliche.
Why couldn't they be a personal trainer?
They could be.
We always say UPS.
It's just a cliche.
From now on, I'll change it. I'll say Lifetime Fitness.
Oh, thank you. Because there's no chance any of the Redskins get cut are going to work for UPS.
Play the guys who will be working at Lifetime Fitness next
week.
There you go. So they play the
Jets.
That's
more of a fit.
And they've been practicing with them. And, of course, everybody on social media was getting all excited about the Terrell Pryor incident. You know, we could see this coming with some of the Redskin defenders talking smack, Terrell Pryor leading up to this. And, of course, there was a play there where they knocked the ball out of his hands or whatever, and they went after him. DJ Swearinger went after him. And I guess he kind of faked like he was going to punch him, and Terrell turned, and everyone's acting like that's some big deal.
Social media, they went nuts.
People
but I want to play.
That's
I don't
not
know
a
if
big
you can
deal.
Find it. Audio from Chris Russell. I was driving around yesterday. Chris Russell went off
about this.
This
incident. Let me. Yes. This incident is so dumb. It's so.
Well,
nothing.
I think he's in your.
I mean, it's just nothing.
He kind of agrees with you.
It's a nothing.
But there are so many people that are making a big deal
about
like it on
how,
social
like,
media.
Terrell Pryor has to retire now.
And
are you kidding?
Can you find the Chris Russell audio? I don't know. I guess you have to find it from last night. He was on around 6:30,
well,
I guess.
I didn't hear Chris say it, but I'm in lockstep with him. These little sideline little incidents are just stupid. I mean, it's funny, and okay, he punked him and made him turn away. But it doesn't mean he has to retire. It doesn't mean anything. It just means he maybe
it's
lost
football
the war
players
of words.
Acting like football players.
Yeah, they're talking trash. That's all it is.
I agree.
But Jay talks about what he wants to see on Thursday, 21.
Same stuff. I want to see progression from these young kids, and I want to see special team play. I want to see guys getting better from the first game to the second game. You know, continuity and people competing.
Just this cadence.
He's so faulty.
The way he speaks. He's asked about if the starters
will
play.
Well, you know why? He's just bored of the questions.
Of course. He doesn't want to be
that's what he is.
Defensively, we'll probably go that route. We'll see. Offensively, we'll wait and see who are available to us due to injury. We'll make that decision soon.
All right, hold on. You got to play that again. He speaks in like two-word sentences. They're not even really sentences. They're phrases.
So he was asked if the starters will
we'll see.
Start.
Who's made
the starters.
It?
The defense will
available
start.
To us. I mean, just speak.
Defensively, we'll probably go that route. We'll see. Offensively, we'll wait and see who are available to us due to injury. We'll make that decision soon.
You missed them. When you were out, we discovered two more Grudisms.
Can I hear them?
Yeah. Hang on one second.
Yeah, I'd love to hear them. He just has his own unique way. I like him.
I like him a lot. I like him. He just doesn't have any interest in standing up there and answering questions.
He does, but also, Jason, he's not particularly good at it. So he doesn't have any interest.
He doesn't articulate it as well as others.
He does not. He's just not a great public speaker.
He's not.
But we've had presidents that haven't been good public speakers.
Absolutely. But the last thing Gruden wants to do after practice is go in there and answer 25 questions.
Of course.
So these are the new ones
and then play the old ones because I just want to laugh.
This is the first one, I'm sure, is the one that I pointed out.
Yeah.
That I heard
last
week.
Which one is this one? You want to preface it?
It just didn't make any sense. He was talking about Trent Williams.
Right. Yeah, and his injury.
And whether or not he was ready to go.
Trent Williams would probably be a doubtful. I mean, I don't think he's ready to go. He's ready to go, but he doesn't need to go.
So he's ready to go, but he's not ready to go.
Yeah, that sounds to me like he just doesn't want to.
I think he said
him.
He's not ready to go. Well, he's ready to go, but he won't go.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't make
I mean,
sense.
I don't think he's ready to go. He's ready to go, but he doesn't need to go.
He's just making up stuff.
That's a good one, though.
Well, I'll interpret that as he could go, but there's no reason to play.
And then he botched the cliche.
Oh, did he? Join the club.
The body of work that he's put in the NFL and what people have said about him is all true as far as what I've seen so far. But we're in infantry stages, and
we'll see how it goes.
Funny cliche.
I was there for that one.
Infantry stages.
He meant to say infancy stages.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Play this, the whole cavalcade of them.
My one-year-old is an infant.
Yeah. But poor Jay. Guy's got to win. He's got to win at least 8 games.
We stuttered and sputtered and missed a few throws. And yeah, they're playing. They're playing the way they're playing. That's not physical. The physicality of Darius Geis is not the issue. We just got to make sure. Steven Paya, low back. You guys can Google that one.
Come on, I know you have more. Lolly Gulag or whatever. Doesn't he have one like that?
Happy Gulag.
Happy Gulag. Come on, Baldy.
Sorry, I didn't have them all.
Don't even blame it on the computer.
You know what? We've done this plenty
of times. Don't even blame it on the computer.
We've hammered Jay.
We're not all going to be smiling and singing Happy Gulag, whatever the heck song it is.
That's it. That's the catalog.
I love Jay. I'm a Jay Gruden fan. I could do Jay Gruden press conferences for the rest of my career. They make me laugh.
He'll give us plenty more during the season.
All right, Alex Smith was on with our guys with Grant and Pete yesterday. Pete getting some run. I don't know. We got 4 or 5 clips here. Alex Smith talks about how he has a lot to prove. He talks about Gruden's offense, about making the best of practice, trying to get up to speed. Why don't we do all that when we come back? All right, we'll play some of those clips of Alex with our guys, Grant and Pete, yesterday. We're going to come 2-segmenter of Hit the Skin. Don't go anywhere.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Remember, coming up at 8:20, Houston Nutt's going to join us. He's former college football coach, now an analyst for the CBS Sports Network. College football season around the corner. But we've been talking about the University of Maryland scandal. We'll get his take as a guy who I'm sure pushed plenty of athletes in his day about what's going on at the University of Maryland. Mike Rizzo, GM of the Nationals, joins us at 9 o'clock. Nationals lost again last night. At least it wasn't via walk-off. They just weren't very good as Gio lasted 4 innings.
Now I'm starting to get a little nervous on my bet. Remember I made that bet with our buddy Mike that they would not get swept.
Is it a 3-game series or 4?
It's a 4-gamer.
So I got two more outs.
I got 2 more outs.
Yeah.
So
they may be dying.
It looks like they are. I'm just hoping they can salvage one of those next 2.
I mean, the offense isn't, but the pitching, the bullpen in particular.
The offense didn't do anything last night until
I just mean in general.
Yeah.
You know, real quick before we jump back into the hit the skins and the Alex Smith interview that Grant and Pete did yesterday, I did want to mention, so I've been hyping up Last Chance U. I finally saw season three, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or so ago. Love it. Can't wait to watch season one and two now, catch up on all that. But other people have hit me to a bunch of other sports docs, and et cetera, that I need to be watching. And I started QB1, which came out in 2017.
I saw that.
And that was it's really good.
That's supposed to be
I'm about seven episodes into that.
Give me the premise.
So they follow three studs. We all know Jake Fromm, right? They follow these three studs in 2016. And Jake Fromm,
senior
year in high school. So Tavon Bowers is a kid, I think, from Pennsylvania who ultimately was committed to Wake. I believe he's a redshirt freshman at Wake this year. Jake Fromm, who we know, went to Georgia. I think he's from the Atlanta area. Can't remember.
He's definitely from Georgia.
From the Georgia area, right? Yep. And then Tate Martell is a stud from Bishop Gorman, who ultimately committed to Ohio State. And just watching these guys, and it just follows them from their first day, like getting up on their way to school, their first day of their senior year, throughout their senior year, and that whole process.
Very cool.
It is awesome.
I always like, I don't think any of you guys watch Elite 11, which is Dilfer, where he brings in the best quarterbacks from around the country. And now that's kind of an intense
camp high school kids
competition. They're the top quarterbacks in the country.
High school.
And I remember watching Tua, who ended up winning the national championship for Alabama, and Dilfer, I think he won the Elite 11, whatever they call it, the star of the camp.
Right.
Yeah, the MVP.
But I'm asking you, all high school kids?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm into it.
I think the QB1, I think, was that Peter Berg? Peter Berg, I think, directed that.
Probably.
Who directed Friday Night Lights.
Probably.
Anything he touches is
this one's called Beyond the Lights.
Right. I think Peter Berg did that.
That's probably a play into that. But it is awesome. I love it. I'll have to plow through this before I get back into The Last Chance season one and two, which I just want to compare. And then a buddy of mine sent me another one about this high school kid. Another basketball doc thing I got to watch. So if you got any cool sports documentaries and shows like that, just send them to me on Twitter. I'll watch them.
There's a lot of soccer out there. I noticed this when I was on the plane. Like, you can watch, I mean, if you're into it, like the European soccer, like behind the scenes.
I love behind the scenes. It'd be hard for me to get too into the European soccer stuff because I'm just not a big fan.
Right.
I mean, I'm not aware of the guys. I'm only aware of the big, big, big names. But I might watch, like, if you had behind the scenes of Cristiano Ronaldo's team, maybe I would. I know him.
Now, I know we're going to play the clips here of Alex Smith, and it begs the question. There's part of me that thinks, look, I think he's going to be fine. Most of me thinks he's going to be fine. He's going to put up solid numbers, maybe not as gaudy passing as Kirk Cousins, but it's not going to be a drop-off with Alex Smith. But there is a little part of me that thinks, all the media and everything has been so glowing about Alex Smith that they're setting him up for a fall. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Could be. I feel like it's been pretty muted.
Setting up for a fall in terms of what?
I don't think the expectations are too high.
What if it's actually a disaster?
I don't think it'll be a disaster.
I don't think so. Like I said, it's just a little part of me because, to me, actually, most of the stuff that you're reading is almost everybody, it's almost universal. Everybody says not a drop off. Almost every expert that we hear.
Don't you believe that?
Come
though?
On.
Like in your heart of hearts?
Most of me does believe it.
What
if it's that they're selling you a bill of goods?
There's too much track record. Where they sold us a bill of goods was on the hype of Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
And that was out of control speculation. This time last year, we were all in on, is he going to get 80 catches? The guy finished with 20 and one touchdown.
Yeah, but that,
the Terrell Pryor hype was way greater than the Alex Smith hype. The Alex Smith stuff is you got a proven vet who's going to come in here, he's going to run this offense, and you're going to be.
I think Alex Smith will have a better chemistry with the players around him.
I think so. And what I like to hear is, and we'll play the clip here, is that he seems to still has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Absolutely,
like he wants to prove himself.
Play the first clip. You have it, Valdez?
You know, for me, I feel like, I'll just say this, I have more to prove than I ever have. The challenge ahead of us, you know, with the schedule, the division, I think expectations, I mean, yeah, I think I feel like I have more to prove than I ever have for a lot of different reasons. And I'm excited about that challenge. I think that time, the more I feel like I embrace those types of things. And so no question, I feel like I have a lot to prove. I feel like we have a lot to prove. I feel like I mesh. We got a lot of guys, I think, with that same mindset. And I like that. I like that about us.
I like it. I'm all in.
But, you know, there aren't great expectations as a team.
Right.
So he shouldn't feel the pressure in that sense.
I don't think he will.
But, you know, he signed a big contract, and, you know, quarterbacks always feel pressure after they sign big contracts. But
he's
as a
veteran.
Team,
he's been
as a
there,
team,
done
there's
that.
Only, you know, so many people that are predicting playoffs. Most people are predicting 500 or a little bit worse.
Put it this way. Are you expecting him to go to the Pro Bowl? I'm not. I'm expecting him to come in here and play well, though. I'm not expecting him to go to the Pro Bowl. I'm expecting him to come in here, though, and play well. And then whatever that leads to, who knows? You know, the rest of the team's going to have to play. If everybody plays as well as he's capable of playing, we're going to be fine.
I think the offense will move the ball.
I agree.
General manager Jay Gruden, you know, even if it was Colt McCoy, I think that they would move the
and
ball.
And maybe we'll be better in the red zone. Maybe Kirk did have some sort of gene that made it difficult for him to score touchdowns in the red zone. I think that was a little unfair, but maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe Alex will take a few more chances and we'll be better in the red zone.
I don't necessarily see it that way, but where I see the team maybe better off is not that Kirk was a turnover machine the last couple of seasons, but man, what Alex Smith really does well is take care of the ball. Mm-hmm. And that helps your team. That's the biggest factor in the NFL is turnover margin. So if all of a sudden you're committing less turnovers from the most important position, maybe you're punting a little
bit
more.
Kirk didn't
have.
But
you may be better off.
Kirk, in his first year or two, he had a turnover gene.
Right.
We talked about it. But then the last 3 years or so, where he really established himself, didn't throw a lot of turnovers, but there were timely, critical turnovers.
It wasn't a lot, but it was still more than Alex Smith.
Right. But
Alex Smith is. How many interceptions did he throw last year? Like
six
four
or
five?
Seven? I don't know.
It was really low.
Right. No, I think
and Kirk
year.
Was fairly low, but Alex is extremely
right.
low.
Yeah, but I didn't have a problem with
Kirk. But Alex Smith had a better team.
Right.
True.
He had a running game he could rely on. Kirk didn't. Kirk probably felt like he had to take some more chances, even though Gruden probably didn't think he took
But my expectation with Alex is last year was an outlier for him, threw the ball downfield. He's more of that sideways passing type of guy, safe passes. So, not that I love that personally, but you do take care of the ball a little bit more that way. And he's going to run the ball a little bit more, use his legs.
Well, you're hoping you have Alex Smith from last year and not from the 3 or 4 years prior because he wasn't throwing a lot of touchdowns.
Well, yeah, one year, he didn't even connect with the receiver 1 year in the end zone.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. He does not. He throws less than 10 interceptions a year.
All right, I'm going to put the Alex Smith numbers out there. This is what we should bet on.
Okay.
And this is modern 2018 football. So
let's
keep it in perspective.
Let's do four categories. Well,
write them down. Write them down because we'll see how similar we are.
Can I pick the categories?
Well, I would think they would be touchdowns, interceptions, yards, and what else?
Completion percentage.
Okay.
All right.
Sure. But I need a pen. So
here,
JP
I got a
does it.
Yeah, no, I got a pen over here.
Oh, you got a pen over there? Oh, look, Cillian, our DC improv here. Cup. Oh. All right. All right. So for yards, this can be
All right, hold on. Don't say anything.
Yards.
Don't say anything.
All right, yards. Let's touchdowns.
We'll all match them up.
All right.
All right, yards, TDs, completion, and picks.
And throw in quarterback rating.
You want to do five?
Yeah.
All right.
Whole
so we're
five,
doing yards. You guys could do this at home.
That's
you can
five.
Do this in your
what
car.
What a mess.
All right, yards,
completion
touchdowns,
percentage?
Interceptions.
Oh, completion percentage.
Completion percentage. You know, I'm just going to guess on that one.
All right, hold on. Are we putting money up to see who's closest, who wins most of the categories?
We could do that.
Sure, we'll do 10
Give
bucks.
Me the bet book
10 bucks a man.
You.
10 bucks a man. Valdez, this is at the end of the year bet. Case is not in on it.
All right, so what happens?
Hold on, Matt. Am I in this or not? We'll make the pot swole?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Nobody's scared of you.
I know.
All right.
So, I mean, I need to just. Look a little bit here. I just want to see what.
Okay.
Please
do a little research.
Well, I just want to do a little bit of research to give me a little bit of context on the QB ratings because I don't want to be crazy.
Last year, I think he had a ridiculous QB rating.
He did. He did.
I want to say it was in the 105 range.
Yeah. I mean, his quarterback rating for his career is 88.
It's pretty strong.
But, you know, it's getting better every year.
Yeah. All right, I'm in.
All right, hold on. I'm almost
feel
in.
Feel good about my numbers.
I'm almost in.
I think that's too high.
All right, hold on. Give me one more second. I'm in on yards. I'm in on touchdowns.
And if you want to chime in with your predictions, 800-636-1067, because it's kind of fun.
All right, hold on.
We're getting closer to the season.
Here's my question. For our contest,
yes.
You have to nail the number?
No.
You just got to be closest to?
I think, look, if there's five categories and there's four contestants, somebody has to get at least two categories right.
Hold on, no. All right, no, you do it. It's very easy. How many
five
contestants?
Five categories.
We have five categories. We have five contestants.
No, we have four?
Four
contestants.
All right, so you get ranked. So whoever the closest, and then to the worst for each category, well, no, so you get 5 points. If I'm the closest on yards, 5 points. If you're second closest on yards, 4 points.
Okay.
It get right,
okay, that's
and then
fine.
Each category,
that's fine.
And whoever has the most
complicated.
Points.
I was just going to make it simpler that whoever wins a category, it's a win, and somebody's going to have two wins. It's impossible for because
I understand.
So. I would just go with whoever wins the categories.
But if
you want to score it that complicated way,
we'll figure out the rules later and just do this now.
Yeah, we're arguing about the rules.
All right. All right. Yards.
I'm in at 4,028 yards.
Okay, you
just slightly over 4,000.
I was just doing general. I put 4,000. So I'm in the exact same as JP, basically.
All right,
I think 4,000 yards.
I'm going to go lower now. I'm going to say 3,710.
All right.
Valdez?
I had 3,979.
All right, so I got the lowest amount.
By the way, last year there were 8 quarterbacks that went over 4,000, and Alex, I didn't even look at this, Alex was the 8th at 4,042.
Yes. I think he's actually
going to be in an
offense that is more friendly to quarterbacks in terms of passing.
Put it in context, yeah. Jared Goff, who everybody raved about, had 3,800 yards.
He also had Todd Gurley.
Right.
Right.
You know,
but it still is hard to get to 4,000.
Jared Goff had Todd Gurley. Alex Smith is going to have potentially Capri Bibbs.
But it is still hard to get to 4,000.
True.
And you got to stay healthy for 16.
Health is probably the biggest factor.
And you got to have a couple big games. All right. So I got the lowest 37-10.
All right. Touchdowns. JP?
I've got 24.
I have 22.
I've got 23.
Now, right, does this include rushing?
This is passing touchdowns.
We're not doing rushing touchdowns.
Don't care about rushing.
Okay, then I have 26.
All right. You're by far the most optimistic there. That's good. All right. Interceptions. JP?
8.
I have 8.
I also have 8.
I have 13.
13? Ooh.
Oh, that's a bad year for Alex Smith.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be great.
All right. Picks. I got. So what are we going
to
do?
But you have a touchdown ratio of 28 to 13. Did you say?
26 to 13.
2-1's not that great. I've got 3-1.
Yeah. All right. Completion percentage.
The last time he threw 13 picks in a year was his second year in the league with the Niners.
Yeah, he threw
16.
For him, it would be out of character to throw that many picks.
All right.
Completion percentage. It's tough. I went 68.5.
Yeah, I mean, JP and I are right on the same. I went 68. I mean, I'm not doing .5.
I went 65.6.
I have 66.
Okay.
All right. Just to put it in context, last year his completion percentage
67.5. Yep. Last two years he's been at 67. Before that he was always around 65 or a little bit lower.
So I'm probably gonna lose that because I have 68.
Well, all right. We'll see.
All right. Quarterback rating.
I went with a 98.8.
JP and I on the same page. I put 98.
Wow, that's high.
Last year was 104. I think he's going to complete a high percentage of passes.
All right, the 4 years prior, he was 89, 93, 95, 91.
I'm going 98.
All right, I went.
Good offense.
I went 92.6.
All right.
I went 93.
All right. So we're in.
I was going to say, look, I think part of me thinks they're setting them for a fail, but I'm not buying that. I'm just saying that. But it would be.
I think my numbers are modest.
I don't know if the right word is it would be funny, but it would be. What if he ends up stinking, right?
He's not gonna
like what
he's
if
not.
He
it's too good
that just everybody was just they made the best of a situation where
so
they couldn't
stinking?
Retain Kirk Cousins, that he just doesn't flourish, that he gives you 16 touchdown passes, 3,400 yards.
I think he's too good for that. I think he's too good, but I mean, Tyrod Taylor last year, how many games did Tyrod play? I mean, Tyrod had 14 touchdowns.
They benched him for that one Peterman game where Peterman threw like 100 interceptions, right?
I thought it was more than one game Peterman started.
Yeah,
oh,
I think.
I thought Peterman just had that one disaster start.
I think it was one.
It was only one. He started 14 games, Tyrod did.
Yeah.
He's going to have a better year than Tyrod.
He was 14-4 last year. Oh, of course he's going to have a better year than Tyrod.
JP threw out that 16.
He's not gonna.
Well, look, I bet on 24. I'm just saying, but there's a little part of me that says
the only way he has,
it's a dud.
The only way he has 16 passing touchdowns is if he's injured for some games.
Yeah. I feel good about my yardage. I feel good about my touchdowns. I feel good about my interceptions. I'm probably a little high, maybe, on the completion patterns and quarterback rating. But
I think quarterbacks flourish in Gruden's system. Let's play that clip 15, which is him talking about Gruden's offense. Because I do think most people say it's going to be a good fit. I think it's going to be a good fit for him if, you know, Jordan Reed stays healthy.
I'm letting you handle this. All right, there's mine.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, tough to quantify all those things. Yeah, every system's different. So for me, it's just a matter of trying to get up to speed as fast as I can. I think the one advantage is that it, you know, it is in the West Coast family. So the structure, the method, the play calling, there is some similarities and carry over there. At the same time, though, there's a lot of new. But the biggest thing, you know, is getting out on the field and knowing your teammates, all the little calls, all the little intricacies, whether it be with the O-line and protections, the ball handling with the backs, the route running with all the position guys. So it's all those little things that get magnified and that what you need to work the most. So we've had great work these last few weeks here at camp at Richmond. They've been invaluable for us. The last few days with the Jets have been great. Same thing, kind of carrying that over against a different defense. So it's been good. Tough to quantify, but we're all obviously working towards opening day and being full go for that.
All right, I'm sufficiently fired up. No, actually, keenly interested in what he does.
Vested interest.
I got $10 riding on this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let me see your numbers. I got to write them down here.
Yeah. He's gonna keep them all in one sheet.
I feel like I should have made them a little more random. I went with round.
By the
numbers.
Way, this is the type of bet that Cakes loves. He loves numbers predictions bets.
Well, we could give him a shot to get in on it.
Next week, he can add his numbers.
He can add his numbers if he wants.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put Cakes in here.
Then I think you got to do it my way. Closest to 5 points, second closest 4 points, 3 points for each category, sure. And then whoever has the most points,
like
is the
peanut
fat
butter
winner.
Jelly contest. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that.
That's how you do it. Each category, 1 through 5.
All right, I'll give Valdez his numbers, put him official, then put him in the bet book, and we're set to go with Alex Smith. Remember, 820, Houston Nutt joins us, former college football coach. We'll talk about what's going on at the University of Maryland.
By the way,
Mike Rizzo at 9.
Can I just throw this out there? If you want to chime in on that particular discussion on Alex Smith, give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just take a few calls. We can sprinkle in a few calls in this next segment. I know you're going to do the Junkies Blitz, but we can sprinkle in some calls. If you have any thoughts on our Alex Smith bet, 800-636-1067. Do you think we're way off? You think we're spot on? You think he's going to throw more touchdowns than 23? I mean, we'll see. If he has a really good year, yeah, he could be high 20s, but...
Right.
Just based on his track record, I think he'll be right in the mid-20s. 800-636-1067.
Hey, remember, Junkies Poker Open, less than a month away. It's actually just a few weeks away, September 7th, MGM National Harbor. It's presented by Potomac Metals. You can get all your details on this year's tournament at JunkiesPokerOpen.com. But in a nutshell, it's on Friday morning. We'll be doing our show Friday morning. You're welcome to join us from MGM National Harbor as we do the show. And then we head over to the poker room. It's all new poker room. Cakes has talked about it. MGM National Harbor already spent $50 million in upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Crazy.
It was already an amazing spot. But that is September 7th. And then the night before, Thursday night, you can join us. We have our welcome party, hangout. Always a good time. Usually end up over, obviously, in the casino, gambling all night with listeners. So that's coming up September 7th, JunkiesPokerOpen.com for details. Jason threw it out there. I don't see the lines buzzing.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Give us your Alex Smith prediction, we just put ours in the bet book.
I was only hoping for a couple.
800-636-1067. We want to hear from
you.
What,
can you put it on the Junkies Facebook page? You can put our predictions.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll do that.
And people can in the comment section.
There you go.
They can
give us your
us.
Prediction on the categories: touchdowns, interceptions, yards, quarterback rating, completion percentage for Alex Smith. You just heard some of the clips. He believes he has a lot to prove, and the team has a lot to prove. So you can certainly call in at 800-636-1067. But in the meantime, let's get to the Junkies Blitz. And I do have some NFL news, But we finally got the audio of Chris Russell commenting on the skirmish yesterday where Terrell Pryor went up for a catch. He didn't complete the catch. It was broken up. And then DJ Swearinger went nuts. Most of us here in this room think it wasn't a big deal. And
it's
I actually think Chris Russell thinks it wasn't a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
But he went berserk talking about the social media reaction.
Yeah.
Here's our man Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster, on overtime last night.
For all of you guys that are blowing up my timeline, I really appreciate you. I love you. And you know, you guys know I'm not afraid to have a controversial opinion. Sorry, this DJ Swearinger, like, intimidation. I'm the boogeyman. I'm coming to get you. Watch out, Terrell Pryor. Watch out. I'm the boogeyman. Huh. Stuff. If you haven't seen the video, it's all over the place. Everybody's lapping it up like a freaking lap dog. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Everybody's getting a big kick out of it. It's stupid. It's childish. It's immature.
Oh, he's right.
I just like his boogeyman impression.
Spot on take. He's 100% right. It's stupid.
You're a lapdog lapping it up.
No, people were freaking out. They're like, oh, well, he has to retire now. He just got completely punked. Like, what are you talking about? Who cares?
I saw the headline, too. Was it Swearinger makes Terrell Pryor retire?
Well, there's just a lot of people.
I know.
How about it was a pass broken up and a guy talks smack?
Yeah. And there's a little animosity between old teammates. Is anybody shocked?
No.
This is kind of what happens.
But I enjoyed the Rooster
rant. I can't believe
people
went crazy on social media.
That's what they do.
Social media is the worst.
Well,
they're
losers. They went nuts.
Although,
and a lot of us bought it.
But see,
last year, I also have
this problem. I have a problem with people who overreact to what social media says.
Yeah.
Why does that bother Chris Russell?
He's just using it to influence.
I mean, it
shouldn't
bother anybody.
Well, because people use what they see on their social media timelines as kind of a gauge of what
people are talking about, what's going on in the world.
Thinking. And
people have nothing to talk about then.
Yeah.
They really don't.
There's something to be said for it. Listen.
But social media goes berserk over everything. Like Odell Beckham Jr. had an amazing one-handed catch in practice yesterday. Does it ultimately mean anything? No, but it's
what
happens.
It means he's good.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry has some silly one-handed catches on Hard Knocks. You see that?
Yeah, in episode one.
I didn't watch
episode two.
I always like Landry.
Yeah.
Let's get to the NFL news, though. Ben Roethlisberger in concussion protocol after sustaining a hit in his practice on Tuesday.
I don't know anything about it. I just know on the face of it, this seems absurd that their starting quarterback, their Hall of Fame quarterback, could actually suffer a concussion. Like, they're allowing them to hit the quarterback?
Well, this is what happened.
This is crazy.
According to the accounts, he actually ran into his right tackle.
Oh.
Right tackle Marcus Gilbert said Roethlisberger was rolling to the right side on a goal line play, and he ran into Gilbert and linebacker Keon Adams. Now, Gilbert said, it happened so fast, I saw his head whip back. Got to see the film to see what happened.
Just a freak thing.
Roethlisberger's 36.
Have you seen the video of it?
In the protocol
no,
in 2015.
I haven't seen the video, but just based on how he's describing it, it's just a fluky thing. I mean,
yeah,
because, it happens.
Well, what I thought when I saw the story was that somebody hit him. I mean, that'll get you cut.
That would be surprising, yeah. But if you ran into a guy, I mean, that's football.
Wouldn't think you could get
a concussion. Can you name the Steelers' backups?
Well, they still have Landry Jones.
They drafted Mason Rudolph, didn't they?
Did they draft Mason Rudolph in like the fourth round,
yes,
or fifth round or something?
Third round.
All right, so we nailed it. So Landry Jones and Mason Rudolph. Are we right?
And?
There's another one? I don't know. Who's the last one?
Josh Dobbs.
Well, how are you going to get him?
Washington Redskins corner Josh Norman was quite effusive about Sam Darnold. He said, someone asked me about him the other day, and I was like, yeah, whatever, he's just a guy. Then you go out here, and you see him making these throws, and you're like, all right, that's not so much a college-level throw. He's putting them on the money. It's like, dang, Norman said. You get rookies in here, and you try to mess them a little bit and bait them a little bit into thinking they're throwing a route, and you can make a play, and he's not having it. So crazy to see an early age. Dak Prescott has that. Carson Wentz has that, and I guess he's implying that Sam Darnold has it.
Yeah, everybody's been loving Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
So far.
Let's see how they play in their second games.
Speaking of Baker Mayfield, he was asked about the rookie wide receiver Antonio Callaway and whether he's earned the team's respect. And Mayfield said, for me, he earned it. can't speak on everybody's behalf, but I hope it was the same way. Callaway, of course, right before camp, it came out that there was a marijuana possession charge and a driving with a suspended license, which happened, I guess, early last Sunday morning.
That could happen with me.
He blames it on lending his car to friends. Didn't know the marijuana was there. In February, of course, after his junior season in Oklahoma, Mayfield was arrested. So maybe he, you know, he understands giving people second chances.
Of course, Mayfield's running from the cops and getting the beat down.
I thought,
but
was,
Callaway just—I mean, he was a knucklehead all through college, and obviously it's spilling into his NFL career.
I haven't seen the episode yet. Apparently, last night's episode really deals with it. But just reading the reports that Hugh Jackson's version of punishment was playing more.
Yes.
And you saw the reaction to that, where guys are like, that's a punishment? Every guy's desperate to play more.
Apparently, second episode of Hard Knocks focuses a lot on Corey Coleman, who was traded to the Bills. Apparently, he asked Hugh Jackson to trade him.
Mm.
And the Antonio Callaway situation, where I believe Hugh Jackson says, I believe you, but if you burn me, you're going to pay for this.
Right.
Hmm.
I don't have a great feeling about...
I'm going to watch that today.
The Browns having... I don't want to watch the second episode, but I don't have a great feeling about their season. Just, I don't know.
When would you ever have a good feeling about their season?
I don't know.
They've won one game
in
2 years.
And aren't they doing a bit? Didn't I see yesterday? Are they doing a bit with like Bud Light or somebody where they have a Bud Light fridge and they're going to crack open a celebratory beer when they get their first win?
Not them. I think it's in certain bars.
Yeah, it's at certain bars.
Like a Browns fridge.
Budweiser's put in these big coolers with beers ready to go, and that they'll be free when the Browns win.
But aren't the Browns somehow involved with this? I thought the Browns had one.
They just have to win a game.
I think the Browns have one in their offices for the coaches. Mm. I thought I saw that. I thought the Browns tweeted a picture of a fridge of celebratory beers, which is just, I mean, the coaching staff cannot be involved in this kind of dumb bit. It's embarrassing enough that Hugh Jackson jumped in the friggin' river or whatever he did.
I agree.
I mean, it got to be
above
the bits.
The Browns were involved.
Didn't Hugh Jackson, he's still maintaining that Tyrod Taylor is his starter, right?
Yes.
I think.
Well, I mean, Taylor was, for as much as Baker impressed throwing two touchdown passes, Tyrod was 5 for 5 with the touchdown.
Right.
Let's look at their schedule. You tell me when they're going to get their first one. First of all, when do you think Baker Mayfield will start?
I don't know enough
Week
yet.
Week 6.
I think it'll
be that far in?
I think it'll be before that.
You think it will be?
I think, yeah.
All right, their first game is the Steelers.
Well, I think they'll lose.
At home. Yeah. Okay. Their second game is at New Orleans.
I think they'll lose.
Then they play the Jets at home.
There's your win.
Maybe.
And they'll probably going to be Darnold. I would think that's going to be Darnold.
All right.
Raiders on the road. I mean, they got three toughies.
But you know what? Let me know when is Josh Gordon coming back?
At some point.
I mean,
he'll help the offense.
He obviously had a setback.
And is Des Bryant going to sign with them tomorrow? Suppose he's meeting with them tomorrow.
I know.
He might have to. It doesn't seem like there's a whole
lot of
interest.
There's no one else who wants
them. Yeah. All right, guys. Are mosquitoes, ants, termites, and other summer pests ruining your summer? Take a stand this year with the 5-star pest control experts at Crop Metcalf. Crop Metcalf's pest control technicians have the training and techniques to stop all pests that might be bugging you and your family. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. And remember, Crop Metcalf is a one with 5 stars. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.